Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners, and I am a team pastor here at Ashworth. And today I want each of you to take a moment and imagine a time when you were in a very uncomfortable situation and you had to rely and lean on and trust somebody to take you through that situation. So maybe you went to a party with somebody, maybe a date. Maybe you're still with that person. Maybe that person wasn't worth it. But you went to a party, you didn't know anybody there, and you were very much terrified. Or perhaps you were going through a major life change, like marriage, having a child, a new career change, and you were out of your element, and you were really trusting and relying on the wisdom and the advice of somebody to help you get through that. Maybe you've gone out in the wilderness with a guide, gone on a hunting expedition. I remember vividly once I went whitewater rafting. And like, you're like, oh, this guide seems really nice. But when you're in the raft and you see the rapids coming and he's like, everybody here, you're all like, yes, sir. And you're going to do whatever he tells you to do because you recognize I am out of my element. I have no idea what I'm doing. And this guy better be good or we're in trouble. And whatever your situation, think about how much trust that you have in those times had to put into that person or that guide to help you through that scary or that dangerous situation. And now that you're through that situation, you survived, I can ask you to imagine, what if that person was a phony? What if they stayed at a Holiday Inn the night before and they're like, of course I can do this. And they're a complete fraud, and they didn't actually know what they were doing. And what if you were trusting somebody who didn't have a clue what they were doing to be the one to navigate you through that challenging time? That would be so dangerous. All of a sudden, that situation that you're like, whew, this is going to be a little bit difficult, but I'll get through it with their help, becomes like, in fact, terrifying and dangerous because you realize the person leading you doesn't have a clue what they're doing to see you through it. And it's this feeling of utter dependence on another person that we need to imagine to fully understand our teaching from Jesus today. You see, today is essentially part two of what Pastor Brent began last week, as he taught in John chapter 10, where Jesus said, I am the gate. But as we learned, when he said, I am the gate, he wasn't saying, I am an inanimate object. He was actually pointing to the fact of how shepherds act as a gate to provide protection and provision for their sheep. You see, a shepherd is an indispensable guide in the life of a sheep. Without a good shepherd, sheep won't survive very long in the dangerous, unforgiving desert wilderness of Judea. Like you at the party with all these people that you don't know and relying on your date to navigate you through those social interactions, a sheep also very ill-equipped to navigate all the things and all the dangers that are going on in the wilderness of Judea. And additionally, then, so the sheep have to have that shepherd who's able to provide for them a place to come to the lush grass to eat and a place to drink the water. And the shepherd is the one who provides the protection and puts them away in the little caves at night to make sure that they don't have to face the wild animals. The shepherd is providing and protecting for the sheep. And the reason that we learned the sheep are able to receive that protection and that provision is because the shepherd knows his sheep, and they know him. They know his voice. They're willing to follow him wherever he leads, and they're willing to then enter past him as the gate into safety. And now today we continue in John chapter 10, where we see Jesus giving us another of his seven I am statements that we find in the book of John. And so in John chapter 10, verse 11, we see Jesus continuing to tell the crowds, I am the good shepherd. But before we can go any further, we have to look at the situation where Jesus is making this statement. Just like when he said, I am the light of the world, he was saying it at a giant festival centered around these huge lights up in the center of the temple courtyard. Jesus is making this claim to be the good shepherd at the festival we know as Hanukkah, which remembers the bad leadership or the bad shepherds of Israel during the second and third centuries. You see, in the third century BC, Greece started to take over the whole Mediterranean. And their influence started to infiltrate into Jerusalem and in through the Israelites and how they were living and how they did their religion. And so you had these two different sets of Israelites. You had the conservative Jews who were like, no, this is wrong and we need to continue to live out our religion the way we are taught. And you had the Hellenist Jews, they're kind of the Greek thinkers, who were like, no, a little bit of this and a little bit of that mixed in with everything is A-okay, that's just fine. And they were leading the people to these Greek ideas and leading them away from God. And it got so bad that we have what's known as the Maccabean War between the conservative and the Hellenist Jews. And in 165 BC, Judas Maccabeus took over Jerusalem again. And he rededicated all of Jerusalem back to God. And so that's why when we read in verse 22 of John 10, it calls it the festival of dedication. We call it Hanukkah today. But it was remembering how they had to fight a war because the leaders of Israel, the shepherds of Israel, had led the people astray and led them away from God. And as a result, during this festival, every year, the people would ask themselves, what went wrong? How did we follow shepherds who led us so far away from God? And how did the leadership lose its way in the first place? And so part of this ceremony then, during this festival, was a warning to the false shepherds that they would have read out of Ezekiel 34. And so here's what I want you to hear. These people would have just heard right before Jesus stands up and makes the statement, I am the good shepherd. They would have heard this read at their festival from Ezekiel chapter 34. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you don't take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild animals. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for the sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Wow, doesn't that put Jesus, I am the good shepherd, in a very different context? This incredible chastisement to the failed leadership of Israel. And God saying, I will be the good shepherd who brings in those who were scattered and binds up those who are broken. I will do this myself. And now Jesus stands up and says, I am the good shepherd. Unfortunately, before Jesus says this, it was the Pharisees who looked at this and thought to themselves, no, we are the good shepherds. We're the ones who have finally gotten it right. We are the ones who are helping God's flock and steering them away from all these bad decisions of the previous shepherds centuries ago. But they didn't understand. So with all of that now as our backdrop, let's read everything that Jesus says about being the good shepherd from John chapter 10, 11 through 18. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for those sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Do you see the idea that runs through this entire passage? It's the reason that Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. It's because he is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. He says hired hands just run away at any sign of danger. When something dangerous is coming, all they care about is saving their own skin because they don't own the sheep, so they don't care. It's like that no good jerk who maybe ditched you at that party and all of a sudden you were left there with nobody you knew, like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do and how am I getting home? Right? That's a terrible feeling. And Jesus is saying that's what leadership has done to you in the past. Their unwillingness to stick by your side simply proves their lack of care and lack of commitment to you. But Jesus does care. He's the one who owns the sheep. He says we are his. And he knows his sheep. So at this moment where he says he is willing to lay down his life, he's simply foreshadowing what he knows is going to happen when he gives up his life to die on the cross for all of our sin, to make a way that we can actually come to God. Because before that, there was no way for us to do that. None of the Pharisees can make that claim. None of the Pharisees were willing to lift a finger to help the people. The Pharisees were actually the ones who were increasing the burden on the people. That if the law of Moses said this, they said, well, do it even more to make sure you don't screw it up. And so they made the burden so heavy that the people simply couldn't match up to what they thought God was calling them to do. They appreciated their position of power and of authority over the people, but they never used that privilege to provide or protect them. They were just like the previous shepherds of Israel's past whom God had called out. But Jesus, we see, is different. Jesus isn't leading the people so he can achieve some sort of reward or gain some sort of notoriety. In fact, his view of leadership is completely upside down. He's leading by being a servant. Later in John, we read about how Jesus gets down on his knees and wraps a towel around his waist and washes his disciples' feet. This is completely unheard of. He's willing to lay down his life for his followers. Who does that? While the Pharisees increase the burden on the people, he's removing the burden of the law and fulfilling it so that all for us. He's making a way to God where there was no way. He is living the life of a servant and of the good shepherd of all of his people. And no, he was in no way a victim of God's cosmic plan to rescue the world. Some people look at Jesus' death on the cross and they somehow think in some distorted lens that it's some sort of divine child abuse where God made Jesus die. But Jesus makes it very clear to us in this passage that he was the one who had the authority to lay down his life. He was the one who, he says, nobody takes my life, but I lay it down of my own accord. He chose to give up his life. And it's because he had a choice in the matter that we clearly see that this wasn't him just being obedient to the Father. He was being obedient, but he did it because he loved us. He did it because he was so devoted to us. He's willing to leave the 99 to go after the one sheep who has wandered away because of his incredible care and concern for every single one of us, even when we make a giant mess and we're the one that runs away. He goes after us because he loves us and he wants better for us. for us. Bad leaders who don't care about those they lead, they run away to protect their own skin. But Jesus shed his blood so we wouldn't have to. That's why he's the good shepherd. But the problem is, so many of us don't see this. We don't understand how Jesus is the good shepherd who makes any difference in our lives. Maybe we don't understand it. Maybe there's people all around us who've never even heard the invitation to follow Jesus as the good shepherd. You see, this world is a very dangerous place. It's a lot more dangerous than any party you've attended full of strangers or any whitewater rapids that you've faced down. And so while we try to navigate this world as best as we can, the fact is, each one of us is going to enjoy this life a whole lot more if we have a guide. We need a guide to help us navigate all that's going on around us. But we don't need just any old guide. We need the one true guide who will provide and will protect and will even lay down his life for us. Unfortunately, there are lots of people willing to offer you guidance. The world is absolutely chock full of bad shepherds, people who simply want to eat the curd and clothe themselves with your wool, or in more modern terms, exploit your trust for their financial gain. Lots of people are writing magazine articles and blog articles and YouTube channels to show you how to do something, to be a better you, to get rich this way, or to be more successful in your job, or to live a happier life, or be a better parent, or eat healthier. And not all these people are terrible people, but we have to understand the reason that folks do that mostly is for their own gain. Do they actually completely care about you? Do they know who you are? Do they know your name? Do they know what you need? Or are they doing it for them? Some of these bad shepherds walk around as religious leaders. We can buy their books at Christian bookstores if we still had any in Des Moines. And in these books they say, here's how you can have an amazing life. But anybody really who's trying to lead you and lead you in a way that takes you away from God is a bad shepherd. And so that's why we can say that different social media platforms, people are bad shepherds there. Movies and media, the music you listen to can be a bad shepherd that's leading you down a dark path. The blogs and the magazines and all the books that you read, the self-help stuff, they can be a bad shepherd influencing you in ways that aren't helpful. So in this regard, Jesus' call to us to hear the voice of the good shepherd and call him is a call to discernment. He's asking us to have discernment, to ask ourselves, who are you following? Do you ever think about the voices that you're following? What or who is guiding you? And are they leading you simply to exploit you for their own gain, their own fortune, or their own importance or status? Or do they actually care about your well-being? Are they willing to suffer loss to help you and guide you? Yes, Jesus is the one good shepherd, but he also works through many other people to lead his flock. When Brent, Amy, and I stand up here to preach to you every single week, or maybe we meet with you over coffee to talk about life, please understand, we're not doing it for the paycheck, all right? That's not why we do what we do. We do this because we want what's best for you. That's why we want to know you. That's why we work so hard to know your names, to know your stories, because we want to pour into you and see you experience the abundant life that the good shepherd wants for you. Any shepherd or any person that you're willing to follow should ultimately be pointing you towards the one true shepherd who's guiding all of us. And the reason we do that is, honestly, for me, sometimes out of terror, because I don't want to stand before God and have him give me a woe oracle like Ezekiel said about all those terrible shepherds. Like, I have no interest in that. I want to point everybody towards Jesus. And you need to think about who you're following. Are they pointing you in the right direction? And when we think about how we as pastors are leading this church, we take our model from Jesus, who showed us that leaders don't sit at the top of the organization and just expect the people to serve them. Jesus truly set up and demonstrated a style of leadership that's different. It's called now, you can buy books about it, it's called servant leadership. He leads by serving, by getting in the mess with us, and by paying the ultimate price for us. And so as pastors, we try to lead by serving all of you and leading you where we see is best for you, not by expecting you to do anything that serves us back. But servant leadership isn't just for pastors or ministry leaders. It's much broader than that. Every single one of us in this room who lead in any regard can say, you know what, I'm going to take my style of leadership from Jesus. As a mom or a dad, you can be a servant leader by looking for ways to help your children, support them, lift them up through the hard times, rather than just telling them what they need to do. You need to do this, and then you need to do that. Demanding whatever you want. That's being at the top. Serving them is saying, how can I help you through this scary time, this hard time? How can I help you clean your room? It's important. How can I help? You can be a better boss if you try to serve your employees and help remove the roadblocks that they have rather than just beat them when they mess up. And you can be a better leader in any organization, including however you might serve here at Ashworth, if you're always looking for ways to be helpful as you lead rather than just telling the people that you're working with what they need to do and how they need to do it. Leaders don't sit at top just giving directives. Leaders get in among and share and help and support and remove roadblocks and do what they can to help those that they are serving. That's what Jesus did for us, and that's a style of leadership we can take to others. And now, the final important message that we need to pull out of this passage of Scripture is Jesus as the Good Shepherd comes in the later verses where Jesus speaks about other sheep in another sheep pen. When we see those verses, what Jesus is really doing is he's preparing his Jewish audience for what he knows is coming, and that's the good news of the message of Jesus and salvation through him, going to the Gentiles, going out to the Greeks, going out to people who weren't following Jewish law, the people that the Jews put their noses up at and called them Gentiles. And while most of us today fall under this category of Gentile, it's a good reminder for us that Jesus has sheep truly all over this world. Sheep who look different than us, talk different than us, maybe dress different than us. But too often we come to church and we shake hands with all the people that we know and all those that we serve in ministry, and we get really focused on ourselves. We focus on the sheep in this pen who are already here. But Jesus is trying to grow us in an awareness of all the other sheep who need to hear. All the people who have yet to ever hear that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. They're looking for a guide to help them through this challenging life, but they've never heard about the one Good Shepherd who's willing to lay down their life for them. The safe guide who can lead them through this dangerous and chaotic world. And so we need to constantly be asking ourselves, who else? Who else needs to know? Who are the other sheep that are not of this pen here yet that we can invite, that we can tell them, you know what? This life is hard, but there's somebody who wants what's best for you, somebody who will provide for you, protect you, who wants to know you by name and take care of you. Who do you need to tell about the Good Shepherd? I mean, realistically, this is why we hold events like saying, hey, go host a Super Bowl party. Because so often we don't rub shoulders often enough with people who aren't in this pen. But by having a party, it's a really super easy way to say, you know what? I need to spend some time with some other people who don't know Jesus as their Good Shepherd. I need to build that relationship with them. I need to take some time to develop that relationship so that there will come a day where I can say, you know what? I know somebody who can help you, somebody who can lead you and guide you through all this challenge you're going through. And that's why we encourage you to take that step, because we want you to have an awareness of all the people who aren't yet part of Jesus' flock. Going back to that uncomfortable situation I asked you to imagine when we began, that's really just a microcosm of our entire lives. Yes, that event was scary, and maybe you needed a guide. While I was in that raft, I realized that I had no control over what was going on. The river was doing one thing, and the guide was going to lead the rest, and that's the only control I had was to listen to him. But that's how life is. Am I right? The river is flowing, and rapids are ahead. It looks different for each one of us. And somehow you're going to have to get through those rapids. And we're all looking for a guide. How the heck am I going to get through this moment? And so we're grasping. And there's, like I've said, a lot of different people, a lot of sources willing to give you information so they can build their audience, so they can build their profits. But in those moments, are you looking at Jesus as the shepherd to guide you through those difficult rapids? Do you have your eyes on him and trust him to be the one who knows you and cares for you better than anybody else could? We live in a world of risk and danger and countless moments where we stumble into unnecessary pain and brokenness if we aren't following the leadership of somebody who truly cares. This has already happened through the past so many times. In Israel's distant past, they had those leaders who didn't care about the people. And God spoke through Ezekiel and had them write down this challenge to their leadership that said, hey, you guys did a terrible job, and as a result, your nation was scattered at the hands of powerful kings. In Jesus' day, the religious elite, the Pharisees, were blind to their own lack of leadership. Blind to their desire to rule the people from the top, to increase the burden, and to lead the people into empty religion rather than a relationship with God. But Jesus tells us it's time to stop following poor leadership. It's time for us to really evaluate, who are we following? Who are we trusting to guide us? Is it Jesus the Good Shepherd, or is it somebody or something else? Because anything other than Jesus and those pointing you towards Jesus are phonies. It's time for us to see their influence for what it is and to put your trust in the one who gave everything to save you from your sin. Jesus is the one true guide who can provide and protect you, who actually knows you and who gave up his very life for you. So if you hear the shepherd's voice calling you today, I ask you, will you respond? Will you take that step today to follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Will you bow your heads with me?